This time on the Brunswick Buzz, we're going to be discussing Artsville Elementary and how they collaborate with Brunswick Public Schools to provide enriching art events for our students. Hi, Meg.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. This is exciting. We've been doing this for maybe almost a year now. Have, you know, interviewing many of our local organizations that contribute to our students and staff. And I've been looking forward to having Artsville Elementary on here. So thanks again. It would be great if you would kind of give us an overview of who you are and then maybe launch into Artsville Elementary and what you do. And then we'll talk about maybe some of the offerings that you've offered and how they interact with our students.
Sure. So yeah, so my name is Meg. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I came to Artsville Elementary recently, a couple months back. The outgoing executive director, Jen Burns Gray, has left us after a five-year stint at the helm. And she's going to be deeply missed, but I am thrilled to fill her spot. I'm a Durham resident, and I am in Brunswick almost daily. My family enjoys all the restaurants here. We go to the martial arts place, we shop. So truly, we have a love for Brunswick. So when this opportunity opened up a few months back, I jumped right on it. And, you know, my background, I'm a pretty multi-passionate person, but I came to board work a couple years ago and really found a love for supporting nonprofits that are on the smaller side, that are really trying to find their way or developing programs, enrichment opportunities, increasing outreach and exposure. So when I found that they were looking for someone, there was lots of conversations with some board members, and it just felt like a really great fit. Artsville Elementary has been doing its thing since 1980 in Brunswick. Yeah, isn't that quite? That's 44 years.
Yeah,
it really is incredible and almost humbling when you think about, you know, us as this sort of small but mighty organization.
Yeah.
We had a board member, Debbie Atwood, who is very well known in the Brunswick community. She's recently left our board. However, she labeled it small but mighty, and I'm finding that to be very, very true. Our mission at Artsville Elementary has always been to provide these integrative arts experiences for the students. You know, our mission is to spark curiosity, creativity, and critical thinking. And what makes the program unique than other typical arts programs is that we focus on teaching artists coming into the schools and basing their work on the curriculum that our teachers are providing to our students, which is a little different. It's, you know, it's not sort of crafty. It's very integrated into what they're learning. So when we put out a call to artists each year, we provide the current curriculum that's set by the district, and the artists get to create this elaborate proposal, and then the teachers get to decide what they'd like to welcome into their classrooms.
That's awesome. A couple things before you.
Yeah.
Given a nice start. I just wanted to say, one, I can't believe it's 44 years, but two, I hadn't been on your website, and I see it's for quite some time, but I wanted to just acknowledge the land acknowledgement statement.
Mm.
Very, I appreciate that. It's something that I know others feel strongly about. So I wanted to just say that. And secondly, how your organization dovetails nicely into the work that we've been doing on diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. You have a very strong DEI statement on there. So I just wanted to put those out there, that while it's a 44-year-old organization, you've certainly stayed current in the organization. So I just wanted to put two kudos there.
Thank you.
I also wanted to just kind of let our listeners know that you're a 501c3.
Yes, we sure
organization,
are.
So you're funded primarily by donations. We, as a Brunswick School Department, also provide some funding, limited amount. I just wanted to, and that's trying to be as transparent as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's been in the budget for many years.
Mm-hmm.
The amount hasn't changed much when I went back and looked historically,
yeah.
But I wanted to say that. So those are a couple things I just wanted to say, but let's go back to talking about the artists in residence. I guess the other thing I wanted to just, last thing I'll say, was the primarily focused on pre-K-5.
Yes, yep, we are pre-K through five. You know, originally, in as a startup, it was smaller, but we've been able to expand the programming through the years. We added in kindergarten and then now pre-K, and we're always looking for other opportunities in the Brunswick area.
So it was a good place to talk about the residencies, because you were just starting to highlight the fact that, it's different. The model that Arts for Elementary follows is different. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. It's a pretty exciting time right now for Arts for Elementary. We have, it's sort of peak programming. We have, I think, 5 or 6 of our 7 artists coming into the schools in the next few weeks. As well as putting our call out for artists for the following school year. So there's a lot going on, but we are, we have this sort of group of artists this year that are very beloved. Teachers love them. They've asked them back years and years. Sometimes they change grades. Sometimes they change the formatting. So we have Amelia Dahlin in the pre-K. She does singer-songwriter type learning that integrates movement and storytelling with sensory play.
Perfect for that age group.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. And another beloved teacher is Bridget Matros, and she is almost famous around these parts for her work in various arts programs. She is similar in the way she engages with sort of this mixed media singer-songwriter, but she has a bit of magic about her that only certain people have, and the kids just light up around her.
What age group is she?
She's in kindergarten this year.
Okay.
Yep. And right now, Catherine Worthington, we're welcoming her into the first grade next week, and she is a mixed media textile artist, and she'll be working with first graders and multi-agers doing the life cycle of a sunflower, and they'll draw it out, and they'll discuss the science behind it, and the nature immersion as well.
Fits in nicely. Yeah.
Yeah.
With our science programs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Curriculum.
Right now we have Jill Osgood in and out of the second grade these last few weeks. She's doing, looks like a theatrical mini diorama of animal books showing the complete biology and life history of these animals. So Jill is a cartographer as well. So she brings kind of a neat little skill set into that grade. Third grade has Dawn Prindle and Virginia Brown. They talk about art and poetry and bringing in sort of abstract watercolor ink blots and how you can connect words to art and how really sort of tapping into the creative brains of the third graders. And let's see, fourth grade is Genoa. Very popular guy. He is kind of this juggling, unicycling, singing performer here that really talks about force and motion through his circus skills. And so he's really kind of integrating that piece in action, really bringing that curriculum to life. And last but certainly not least, a very, very popular program in the fifth grade, and so much so that we have extended it into the Curtis Memorial Library, is Penobscot Nation Chief Barry Dana.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
People really enjoy having him come.
It was something really, really special. And I love that cultural piece here at that fifth grade level. And he, he kind of lets the students dictate what they want to learn. He brings a lot of tools and art and sort of the handcrafting that is done. And he brings it in and allows the kids to see, touch, and kind of lead the conversation around certainly the Wabanaki art and culture, but, living in an inclusive way with the Native Americans and which the land we live on. So those are our current artists this year.
That's awesome. How do you select your artists?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're starting the process literally on Friday. I'm launching our call to artists. And so this will go out to large organizations like the Maine Arts Commission and various other channels and listservs that may post this. So teaching artists can apply through the sort of a proposal that I've laid out in the call to artists. And they get to choose which grade that they want to apply for.
Oh, so the artists selects the what they're preferable, exactly. What they're comfortable
yep.
with. Okay.
Yeah. So they, you know, certainly like Bridget tends to lend into the lowers more, and certain artists tend to like the older groups. Ultimately, the decision is made, you know, the board will approve, but we take the teacher's recommendations. So anything that's presented for the grade gets presented to our teachers, and then they can say yes or no. Yeah.
So when they're working with a grade level, they work with every class?
They do. This is the tricky part.
Right? That's because it's thinking at Cape Furbish is 10 classrooms or 9 or 10 class, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an interesting scheduling feat. It really is. And I'm so grateful for we basically work with a lead teacher for each grade,
okay,
and they step up and sort of become my point of communication. So myself, the artist, and the lead teacher kind of work together to figure out where it can fit in the schedule. And we just pray for no snow days.
Right, that's the truth. Yeah, that's a lot of juggling.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it really is interesting. It seems to come together always, and from by all accounts, the teachers are just so grateful to have us in the classroom anyways, that they're, you know, we can maneuver anything that seems a little bit of a challenge.
And does Arts for Elementary provide, when an artist comes, provides all the materials? Do we collaborate with that as a district? And I know, a little embarrassed that I don't know this, but, you know, it's a big organization. But how does that work?
Well, so in the proposals, we ask that they include their materials and fees all in there. Everything from, you know, travel expenses to all the little pieces that build up their program. So we set a stipend for each level, and they create this budget, and we go from there.
And then typically, how long does is it a one session, two session per class, or does it vary? Or
it does vary. So some, like Amelia in pre-K, is coming in essentially once per class, mm-hmm. keeping those sessions shorter because that works for them. Yeah. But there are other artists that come in 3-4 visits throughout the year. So they have to come in 3 or 4 times and then see each classroom. And so for instance, we just finished up Catherine Worthington's schedule, and she's basically over the course of 4 weeks, she'll be popping into all the different classrooms.
That is really great. I love that. So those are some of the things, some of the events, your residencies, you've been doing that for a while. I just wanted to clarify, make sure people know, staff collaborate with you or your team to select which artist in what grade level, and then they ensure that it aligns with our curriculum.
Yes, exactly. That they have to highlight that in the proposal, what specific parts of the curriculum that they're focusing on. You know, some can be a little bit more generic, and certainly in the lower grade, we try to get more specific and detailed in the uppers.
How do you folks, I think it's also, if it's a good time to pivot and ask questions about how you raise your fund. And then I was looking on your website, and looks like there's some activities, but primarily it's donor-based is what it looks like, but and how do you go about doing it?
Yeah, so we are funded, like most small nonprofits, we really try to, you know, do everything and anything to raise awareness and funds. So as you mentioned, you know, the support from the district is a huge help. Parent groups, both at Cape Furbish and Harriet Beecher Stowe, are supporters of us. Yes, deeply appreciative. And then private donations. So it's because the organization is as old as it is, and this is pretty neat. We have a board member, Brad, who is also a teacher, art teacher, and he came through the Arts RL.
Oh, Brad Williams,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and he's a board member?
Yeah.
Oh, then he went through the system.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was that's really,
isn't
really
that
cool.
Neat? Yeah.
That is beyond neat. That's awesome.
I tried to drag him here today, but he had a conflict.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so there's private donations, and then there's, of course, grants, whether it's mini grants, which there are a lot of local, you know, there's local churches that support us, the Center Fund. So we really kind of try to spread ourselves out as much as possible. And even doing smaller donations like the flowers at Hannaford or little Panera funding. But we're also starting to do more and more of these, you know, we call them indirect fundraising, but it's, you know, going out into these restaurants. We had an amazing one at Flight Deck last month where we raised almost $600, which is a lot for us. You know, for some larger organizations may not be, but $600 really does go a long way. And so we have one coming up at Nomad. Of course, we do the Gelato Fiasco Scoop-a-thon. And so we've got those, and we're listing more and more of those on our site. It all helps the bottom line.
So let's put a plug out there for your Frogtown Mountain Puppeteers. Yes. That looks like everybody loves pirates.
Everybody loves pirates, and it's going to be fun. They've been here for years doing different shows. Very, very popular to see professional puppeteers come in with these sort of really cool creations. The kids are fascinated by it, deeply engaged in the mechanics of how it works, never mind the storytelling. We'll have raffles. We've gotten quite a bit of donations for some raffles, some snacks, a little pirate's booty, of course, to go along with the pirate. Yeah. And Brad, he's going to probably be mad at me for saying this, is dressing up like a pirate.
He looks swashbuckling kind of person. Right? He looks like he would fit that bill nicely.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I notice you have, just to put a shout out there, you have a social media website.
We do, yeah.
Facebook, Instagram.
Yep, Facebook and Instagram primarily. We're getting more and more active on there. These last couple months, we've really kind of, refreshed some of our marketing and taken a real keen eye to it. And I expect we'll really be building some more social media stuff out there as well.
What else would you like to share about Artsville Elementary? And then I just also wanted to kind of allow you an opportunity to put a plug in for donations. Again, it looks like you have that on your social media site, Instagram. You have a link tree where you can donate there.
Mm-hmm.
But other things that I haven't asked that you'd like to make sure that our community knows about? And before you do that, give you a moment to think about that. I just want to personally, as superintendent of schools, I was elated to come here and to see, even during COVID, right, they were doing, Artsville Elementary was doing things and trying to help students be engaged with art. And we all know that art and music are just so essential to the overall well-being of an adult, of a child, as a citizen. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, and thank you to all those that help support Artsville.
Yes, thank you. No, and thank you for giving us a home and a place to be. Despite being an older organization, that has a lot of benefits, but there is some challenges to having it be an organization that's sort of been around for a while. Mm-hmm. People like to fund the newer initiatives, the things that sort of feel new and fresh in the community, instead of sort of these organizations that have been around for a while. Maybe it's under the assumption that we'll always be here, and since we've been around, we're doing just fine, and we are, but, everybody's experiencing rising costs. We're still recovering a bit from the pandemic as well. We are a working board, and we're always looking for new board members, for those that are interested in contributing.
If someone wants to donate some time or be a volunteer and be a, working board.
Yes.
Part of that, just put a plug out there, because my other personal life, I was on a board for a couple of years, and it's rewarding.
It really is.
It's a lot of work at times, but it's so rewarding.
Yeah. And we have such a great board right now where it's a great mix of parents have children in the schools, or parents that their children have gone through it and they came to Arts or and Elementary just by loving the programming and being a volunteer in the classrooms. And so, we encourage parents to volunteer. We post those regularly through the parent groups. We send home backpack flyers. And so it's a great opportunity for parents to get in the classroom with their child and really see what's going on and see what they're learning. The kind of last thing I'll touch on here is that we sort of have already talked about this, but we're serving about over 1,200 students at this
point. That's good. That's good to point out. Just say that out loud. So our student population is about 2,450, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and you're almost approximately half of our student population is being serviced. That's awesome.
Yeah, and we're facing the idea of these sort of rising costs. We want to make sure we're paying teaching artists a livable wage. We want to continue to have, exposure within our own community and see what else, we can do to support. We're meeting with Parks and Rec coming up. What other areas are looking for this type of integrative art within Brunswick or Greater Brunswick? The last numbers, and these might have changed a little bit, but the cost is $16.35 per student
to provide these arts artists. Elementary for our students.
Yeah,
okay.
Kind of a steal in some ways,
yeah.
Right?
Wow, that is pretty good. Yeah.
And so, the numbers are, looks like 41% are business and individual supporters here as well. So really it is an all hands community effort. And, we are deeply appreciative of all the little ways that people support us. And I think you'll see us more and more out in the community. We're feeling, you know, refreshed in many ways, and we're ready to kind of get involved in our fingers in a few more things in the community.
Again, thank you so much. Thanks to Arts for Elementary. Please let your board members know. Thank you. And
artsrelementary.org. No, you got it right. I was just saying that you told me to plug and I didn't plug.
Actually, that's right. So where's your web? It's artsrelementary.org.
Yep, .org. And there's like up right up top in the top right, there's a little donate button. And yes, it can go right to PayPal. You don't have to have PayPal to do the PayPal link. And my favorite thing I've seen more and more of is that people that want to contribute, but maybe they don't have $100 right there at their bottom line. I mean, everything is really expensive these days. But, you know, they're signing up for a monthly donation of $20. And it's just $20 every month. Not a ton of money, but it's all those little ways really help us with our budget.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Brunswick Buzz. The Brunswick Buzz is available wherever you find your podcast.